Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
All entertainers, come original. What's going on? It's Isaac from Inappropriate Happiness, sitting here with this mic in my hand, sitting next to Karina Reichman. Karina, how you doing?
I'm floored by your intro. I'm just like trying to piece myself back together. I'm great, pal. This is so good. We got a 311 reference. We got, you know, some
Q-tip.
Tribe Called Quest. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. I guess it's just Tip. I'm excellent, Isaac. This is some crazy ass shit. I feel like we're recording right here. We're recording for those of you wondering on a Wednesday. This is Wednesday, April 26th.
Correct.
Oh, baby. And it sort of feels like, it's been sort of absolutely just nuts, but like this is like my sort of like last moment of it not being nuts for a week and a half or something. So like today, but because of that, so many things have to happen today so that everything else can happen, you know? So I'm going to play a bunch of shows with Marco Benevento this weekend. We're talking two nights at the Press Room in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, one of our favorite clubs in the country, one of our favorite places in the country, really, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Unsung port town, let me tell you. And then we're going to Soundcheck Studios on Saturday, which is in Massachusetts, baby. It's not in Boston, and it's also not in Providence, Rhode Island. It's right in the middle. It's right in the middle. But I'm really looking forward to that. And then come home Sunday and reset, because I'm going to be on Seth Meyers playing guitar all next week, which is, you know, something I have done, but also feels very sort of, you know, extremely exciting, but also scary, and also like, holy fucking shit, like, how is my guitar playing these days? I don't fucking know. It's gonna be crazy. What the fuck?
I like that you started this by referring to this time as nuts.
Yeah.
Because things being nuts is a funny thing to me. And also when people describe food as nutty.
Oh, nutty. Like the flavor nutty.
The flavor nutty as compared to, or
shit
as
is just nuts.
To, This is nuts. This tastes nuts.
Like, oh, this tastes nuts.
Yeah.
As opposed to this tastes like pine nuts.
Yes.
Or this tastes like hickory ass fucking nuts or whatever the fuck. Like
anyway, that's nuts, Karina.
Well, you know, I've been listening to a lot of, Houston rap from 2005, and there's a great line that my guy, it's Paul Wall. He says, I got the whole place going nuts, and then something, 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 and I'm holding my nuts, referring to his testicles.
Well, that's a whole other.
So if you want to bring in even more nut references, we could start there. Damn, dude. Yeah, it's off to a great start here. Yeah, it's really nuts. It's a nuts time. In all those ways. And yeah, and it just, I don't know, like the Seth Meyers thing, like, is super exciting for me, and it's something I really like to do, and I'm like so honored that they call me back, you know, and like on both instruments, you know, both bass and guitar and whatever, but I'm definitely like, oh shit, like, that's gonna be crazy, you know what I mean? And then immediately, so we're doing that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Show ends at, like, the taping ends at 5 p.m., right? And I'm going to have a car. Well, several things are going to have to happen. I think my mother is going to come to the taping. Thank you, Anne. And bless her heart. And I think she's going to literally take my guitar and my wardrobe and, like, my guitar pedal board home or with her. And then I'm going to get in a car and go to the airport with my bass pedal board and my clothing and everything for New Orleans, go to the airport and take an 8 p.m. flight to NOLA that gets me in at like 11 p.m. that night.
And then you'll play Friday.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So thank God, because if I was playing, yeah, that would be too much.
But you haven't told the people about the Marco Benevento gig that's happening at Jazz Fest.
My man, great, great directing of my scattered brain. Thank you. So yeah, so this is kind of wild. So like, you know, the Seth Meyers gigs came up for me, and you know, I really wanted to do them. I'll be honest with you. That's exciting for me. It's a thing, like, you know, I really like that they keep calling me back. I love the, you know, the community there and like the whole crew. I love like being a part of like a show businessy kind of crazy, you know, you go to 30 Rock, it's NBC, you feel like Liz Lemon, dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 you know what I'm saying? And anyway, so I did have a gig with Marco on the 3rd, which is the Wednesday, down in New Orleans. It's the Crawfish Festival is what they're calling it. And it was the Marco band featuring Eric Krasno, a dear pal at this point. But like, you know, back when I was 12, 13, 14, you know, 15, total fan, you know, Soul Live fan, Lettuce fan, Krasno, like, you know, I just really, I respect the guy so much, and I've loved his playing since I was a mere child. So, you know, I went to Marco and company, and I was like, guys, you know, I got this offer to be on Seth Meyers for the week. You know, what do you think? And basically, I suggested, like, seeing if Dave Drywitz from, of course, Ween and Joe Russo's Almost Dead, who's going to be down there for the J-Rad shows, you know, who I replaced in Marco's band now 7 years ago, which feels absolutely insane, would consider subbing for me for this one gig. And they said, Karina, if you can get Dave to fill in for you, of course. That's always an of course. Like, it's all good, you know? So I called Dave, and Dave said, fuck yeah, he'd like to do it. And that's how we juggled this very intense week.
I mean, these are things that if you were to tell your younger self were happening,
literally would crap myself.
Like, in a very specific way. It's yeah. Not just like, oh, Karina, when you grow up, you will have some career that sure. You don't know anything about yet, but it's coming your way. No, this is, you know, very specifically this configuration of things, and it's all happening.
At the same time, yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, and to have, like, the guy that you just idolize and respect so much, your bass guru, call him what you will, Dave Drywitz, who, like, put me up to the task of filling in for him in the Marco Benevento band now 7 years ago, come back and help me out in this crazy way so that I can be on TV for the week, like, that's so absolutely beyond any, like, that's just crazy. Exactly. My 12-year-old self is losing her shit for sure. It's a nuts time, Isaac, and we're not just talking testicles. We're talking hickory, baby.
Well, Karina, someone we won't see at Jazz Fest is Bill Kreutzmann.
Oh.
Who just last week, I guess he didn't, but Dead & Company announced Bill Kreutzmann's departure from the band.
Oh, baby. Citing creative differences.
Shift in creative directions as we keep these songs alive and breathing in ways that we each feel is best to continue to honor the legacy of the Grateful Dead. That is a long sentence.
Long sentence, just jam-packed
with cryptic
so much to read into, so much to leave us fans wondering about, sort of, in a lot of ways. I've read, you know, just about every hot take the internet had to offer in the last few days about this. I've been waxing poetic in my own brain about it. Like, I really, you know, it's really an interesting thing. It's weird. Some people, you gotta laugh, like, they're like some deadheads on the internet who are just like, they read like the, you know, their reading comprehension isn't great, and they're just like, oh, good for you, Bill, happy retirement, you know? And it's just like, no, the article clearly says he's not retiring, and this is a shift in creative direction, you know, and whatever. So, you know, it leaves us all wondering, like, is Bill being told to play slower by someone else? Are people that are not even, like, people that aren't even in the band, you know, bothering the guy to the point where he's doing so, you know what I mean? Is he removing himself for this reason or that reason? It's just, who's to say, right?
Yeah, but I think you're bringing up something very interesting about the importance of a certain kind of reading comprehension to being a music fan in this day and age. And it's not always like reading and like a, you know, like reading the statement and figuring out the meaning of it.
Sure.
But there are these kinds of ways in which these dynamics shift. We've talked about it in terms of ticketing. We've talked about it in terms of what it's like to be on the road. And, you know, there are these kinds of ways in which there's something you need to comprehend about what's happening.
You know, one would only hope, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, and I read so much of that, and people are just like, yeah, good for Billy, he's retiring, you know, 50 years on the road, you know, it's time to take a load off. And it's just like, no, he like clearly stated he's not retiring. I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, it has an interesting history with the Grateful Dead, too, because I remember, like, before there was even Dead & Company, like, I would go see Rat Dog, and people would be like, we're at the Grateful Dead. And it was like, well, we're hearing the music of the Grateful Dead performed by Bob Weir and, you know, other very talented musicians. But I don't know. I mean, there's this kind of part of me that's like, that kind of accuracy doesn't really matter. We're embracing the ethos or the essence of or the songbook of the Grateful Dead.
Sure.
And then there's another part of me that's like, all right, we have to figure out what's going on here. And I often feel caught between the two. And this is another interesting moment of all of that, because I'm like, has my feelings about going to see Dead & Co. shifted with the news of this announcement? Not really. Will I be thinking about it while I'm seeing Dead & Co. this summer? Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. No, it's riddled with a lot of, you know, gray area, complicated thoughts around it in a sort of a lot of way. And also just for me, like, you know, I like to speculate as much as the next guy, but also when it comes down to it, I'm like, this guy's been doing this forever. He is a literal legend. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And I shouldn't really, you know, like, word, you know? Like, yeah, Bill, like, do your thing, man. Why should I be thinking or judging or... I'm not judging, but you know what I mean? Just like, you know, be like, yo, who told Bill to play too slow? Who did it? Was it Jill? Does this have to do with Barton Hall? Does this have to do, like, you know what I mean? Like, all these things, like, I'm wondering, like, what's really going on? But, like, at the end of the day, this is a huge organization. Huge. With powers that be, that we don't even know about at play. Like, in the Grateful Dead organization and all this shit. And, like, you know, to think about all the external influence and internal influence and the this and that and whatever's going on in his head or life or limbs or whatever he's feeling is totally so far beyond my ability to comprehend, you know, what should or shouldn't be in all of this, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's so much bigger than us, you know what I mean? It's bigger than him. It's bigger than every single person in the band, you know, and their parts combined. Like, it's so crazy. So my basic, you know, we're commenting on it without commenting on it, which is just that fucking A, Bill, you do your thing. Everybody has tried to come up with, you know, their own hot take about this. I've, you know, hinted at a few of mine. But at the end of the day, fucking A, you are a hero and champion of rock and roll, And, you know, I can't wait to see what you do next. And it'll be really interesting to see Dead & Co, you know, whatever shifts, you know, creatively with him gone or whatever happens, you know, it'll be just interesting. And may we all be so lucky to have a career that's lasted, you know, this long in this many different permutations, playing the same music that you wrote in the 60s. Like, it's unbelievable, you know what I mean? So fucking A, I salute you, and I think this is great. Very stoked on all things. It's a complicated thing, Isaac. It really is complicated. But number one, reading comprehension from the fans. Let's just try and read the articles and try to surmise what they're about before, like, commenting on them, right? Like, it's just, like, such a pervasive thing. It's just like, yeah, happy retirement, Billy. It's like, what? He's not retiring. That's what it says, clearly.
Well, Bill Kreutzmann, we love you here at Inappropriate Happiness.
We do. We salute you.
Looking forward to seeing you in any configuration of musicians you want to play with. You want to play with Karina?
Yo, I'm ready.
She's ready.
I'm, like, barely ready, actually. I would have to really, like, you know, get ready for many, many, many days. But you just say the word and I'll put myself there. And then I'll be ready. But you know who's really, you know, going off these days as a member of the original Grateful Dead? It's Bob Weir.
Bob Weir is definitely going off. After he finishes this massive final tour with Dead & Company this summer, he announced he will be joining the Willie Nelson Outlaw Music Festival tour, which has a lineup that differs from town to town, but includes not only Bob Weir and the Wolf Bros, but the Tedescu Trucks Band, ooh, Government Mule, String Cheese Incident, Mike Campbell, Los Lobos, the Avett Brothers, and more.
And more?
And more. There Get are more. And not only that, but, like, Willie Nelson is having a 90th birthday party this year and also announced the 50th anniversary of the 4th of July picnic, which is going to happen in Austin, Texas, with Tyler Childers, Dwight Yoakam, Shaky Graves, and more.
Dude.
So Willie Nelson is definitely a living legend. No, he kind of is, like, look up living legend, and it's Willie Nelson.
Amen.
At 90, doing this with these different configurations of musicians in different places. It's not just like he's like, oh, I'm going to go on tour and take a few support acts and just keep it simple.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is going to be a traveling tour with different bands in all kinds of places and also different festivals with Willie Nelson as the headliner.
It stretches the realms of what's possible, and, like, you know what I mean? It really shows that age is just a number. You know, clearly there's something to this whole chronic thing, because, man, he's looking great, he's sounding great, and he's smoked plenty of it in his life and continues to. So I'm all about this. This is a good lineup, dude. This is, like, it appeals to, like, you know, obviously the jammers amongst us, but also, you know, you got some Avett Brothers in there. You got a little, you know, a little Mike Campbell. You got some, you know, some classic rock, some newer rock.
Los Lobos, like, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Los Lobos on this precise bill.
Yeah, big time. So that's very, very cool. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, to see all the members of the Grateful Dead that are still with us just absolutely, you know, pursuing different things, getting after it, doing stuff. There was the Skull and Roses Festival that happened this weekend.
Yep, with Phil and Friends, amongst many others. I went to that one year.
Did you?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Was it cool?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a vibe.
It looked like a vibe.
I don't know. There's something to this that's also kind of important in the sense that this is a generation of musicians that are really taking rock music into this later stage.
Certainly. And ushering in legions of young, heady fans at the same time. People are latching on to this sort of vibe and ethos and music and understanding it in all new ways, but the same ways as well, and ushering it in, like, you know, they've brought this from the 20th to the 21st century and continued to broaden its meaning, bring new audiences with it while keeping the old heads entertained as well. And it's just really incredible to see.
In a huge way, like on big stages, in a way that's not quite the mainstream, but is
stadiums. Like stadium, it doesn't get bigger,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Which is really a shocking and incredible thing to see it. You know, not only doing it with Dead & Co. and of course, you know, DD50 and all that stuff, but just everything that's happened, sort of since DD50. I mean, GD50. Sorry, I'm thinking about Dave Drywitz. Sorry, sure. GD50. You know, it's just been it's been crazy to see how that's unfurled, and even you know, talk about Billy and the Kids, right? Like that's neither here nor there, but like you know, more permutations, more you know, that's literally we're talking Bill Kreutzmann taking people like you know Tom Hamilton, Aaron Magner, and Reed Mathis, and now more recently. James Casey and Billy Strings
and Molly Tuttle.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Broadening it all. And of course, you know, Phil had his birthday shows at the Cap. And now, you know, he has Michaela Davis and Nikki Bloom and Katie Jacoby along, you know, for the ride amongst others. And it's really, you know, when you think about just the magnitude of the Grateful Dead legacy and the unwavering desire to continue, like... And Bill has that. It's just going to take a different form. You know what I mean? And then it's and so does Bob. And it's all just it's a miracle to watch it unfold and continue to grow. And, you know, it's really one of our great American treasures.
It is.
You know?
And speaking of America, it's not only America anymore, baby.
Oh, tell me about it, Isaac. Tell us what it is.
Billy Strings and Goose. Both announced that they're headed to Europe separately this week.
At the same time.
Kind of at the same time.
Like they overlap a little bit, right?
They do. This is going to be in November and some of December for Billy Strings. Oh, no. Yeah, November.
November, baby.
Entirely in November.
Unbelievable.
The Billy Strings dates also included announcements of some North America dates as well. New Year's in New Orleans, but also dates in Portland, Oregon, in California, in Baltimore. I mean, this dude is playing so many shows this year, but the European jaunt starts in Amsterdam, goes to Antwerp, goes to Luxembourg, Paris, London, all over the place, really.
It's crazy. Which he did last year.
He did this last year. Goose will be over there for the first time. And those dates, I'm just pulling up now, but it would be their first ever European UK tour, starting in Paris, ending in London, many points in between.
It's about 10 shows, is that right?
It does look to be that way, yes.
Nice. I mean, you know, it's really, you know, when we're talking about all this stuff, it's just really, it's a fascinating thing that jam bandery as such is such an Americanized art form. Right, that we, you know, a band like Goose that, you know, is selling out. I mean, it's about to be straight up arenas in this piece. You know what I mean? And it's just multiple nights in theaters, huge play. Like, you know, it's you know, sold out tour in America, enormous places, multiple nights at the Ryman. You know, carry the two. And they've never been over to Europe. You know, and that's really. It's very specific that, you know, well, obviously Goose is very specific in the way that they, you know, have the rapidity, if you will, the rapidness of their rise was, you know, happened just so, you know, lightning quick and under our very eyes, you know, going from playing, you know, a music hall of Williamsburg sized room, which is 500 cap, to many, many, many multiple thousands of people a night, you know? And so I guess that was very quick, but it's just interesting that a band of that size, you know, hasn't toured Europe before. And we're like, holy shit, wow, they're playing 10 shows in Europe. That's crazy. Whereas, you know, I feel like a lot of non-jam bands were like, yeah, we did a Euro tour. Absolutely. Like, whatever, you know? And it's all whatever. But I think it'll be really interesting to see how many Americans take this as an opportunity to travel to the EU, you know, and use Goose Tour or Billy Strings Tour as like, you know, benchmarks for their trip, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's also, you know, these are smaller rooms than they'll play in the States.
Sure.
So, I don't know, hope that people who are local to wherever Goose and Billy Strings are playing in the UK and Europe have a chance to see these bands too.
Big time. Big time. it'll be really interesting to see how it all goes. And honestly, super stoked, obviously super stoked for both bands and, you know, Billy's second time, I gather, and Goose's first time. It's cool to do anything like that as a band that's like, have, you know, has so much momentum and is doing so well in so many things. And, you know, to do something that's just like, well, here we go. First time for everything, including going to Europe, baby. Like, that's just great. And I'm stoked for them. Goose had a show in Seattle the other day where the PA system just didn't work for the first good portion of the show, which seemed unfortunate, and I feel bad.
But it did lead to their longest played jam in front of an audience historically, which was on the song Echo of a Rose.
Which was 44 minutes or 43 minutes? It was long as hell.
Yeah, I listened to it.
Holy shit.
It was long.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. It's a beautiful thing when, you know, it's an accidental, you know, a technical difficulty makes you actually come back and really spring into some real ill shit, which seems like they did.
The soundboard has it clocking in at 45 minutes, 25 seconds.
Ooh, okay. There you go. There you go. Very, very, that's good. Good, it's a good number. I like it.
It's basically like a seminar in jamming.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be. I look forward to listening to that. Incredible. They dubbed the shows Sleeveless in Seattle and all donned, you know, sleeveless shirts, for the record. So that's
I don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah, amen. But God bless, I love wearing a sleeveless shirt. It's great.
I don't have any sleeveless shirts.
I stole the one that you gave me, and I've worn it on stage many times, a sleeveless shirt that you wore at your Choreolab performance.
Yes, I've danced in a sleeveless shirt.
The F, dude, me too, man. I've danced in your sleeveless shirt. Know what I'm saying?
I do. Like, I'll occasionally see a picture of you somewhere at, like, a festival, and you're, like, in that. I'm like, yeah. Glad that shirt has made it onto this stage here.
I wore it at 420 Fest, which is a big show for us. And I wore it. Yeah, no, that one, that was a really big festival crowd for us. So I was just like, yeah, I'm wearing Isaac's middle school dance performance shirt. Oh, baby, sun's out, guns out. We'd like to thank RJB. I hope he's wearing a sleeveless shirt right now. I bet you he was when Goose was playing Seattle. What do you think, Isaac?
I don't know. I wonder if he's going to Europe.
RJ, you going to Europe?
We could have lots of fine dining experiences. Ooh. There.
RJ, I'd like to go to Europe with you, and I'd like to eat meals where we don't look at the prices and think about it all later. You know what I mean? we just fuck around and find out. We're just in it to win it. We're ordering breakfast, lunch, dinner. Yeah, I'm expanding it. We don't need dinner, man. We need all three. All three. We're going to Antwerp. We can't wait. We appreciate you for putting us on here at Osiris. You're a real G. We really appreciate it. We love to be here. We'd like to thank everybody else for listening. Holy shit, thank you so much for listening.
We'll maybe see you at Jazz Fest.
Looking forward to seeing you at Jazz Fest. Once again, my band is playing late night on Friday. That is 5-5, you know, technically early morning on the 6th. You have to say that stuff, you know what I mean?
It's another moment where reading comprehension comes into really play. Key.
Amen. So, you know, yes, it is after midnight on the 5th. That would make it the 6th if you want to get into the finer details of it. I look forward to seeing you there. It's at the Blue Nile on Frenchman Street, and then I'm doing it the exact same time, the exact same place, the very next night with Marco Benevento. And then I'm flying home on Sunday, baby. And then I will rest.
No Barton Hall?
No Barton Hall. I mean, shit. I can't wait to benefit that shit, though. That's going to be good. Somebody's benefiting something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. I love it. Thanks so much for listening, y'all. It's been a real pleasure. Isaac, any parting words for the people?
I think we've laid it all out.
I really agree. I really agree. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I never learned to camp. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you're from.
Osiris.
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, And my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.